Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City, and I'm broadcasting tonight from my bright red desk with a bright red cup full of nice cold water on it. On a beautiful 4th of July weekend, it is July 3rd, 2016. We are halfway through the year of 2016, moving forward very rapidly. Last week, Mars went direct, and we all got a moment of aha. This week, we're full steam ahead, okay? And our job, when we do what we do here on the Weekly Weather, is we talk about the weather and what you can expect and how to work with it. And we also help you navigate the crazy world that we're living in. And hopefully in a little bit more of a informed matter. You know, you can't do anything about the aspects. They're up there. They're having their fun in the heavens. And we know, you know, Hermes Trismegistus, I always say that name wrong, that old guy, that old astrologer way back when, he said, as above, so below, as without, so within. So when we're watching terrorist explosions happen and we're watching people get excited and we're watching all sorts of crazy, that's happening somewhere in each of our charts. It's in the world, so it's in our being too. So when we see that, we have to kind of go, okay, so how am I going to work with that productively? And we also have a lot of new energy kind of flying in because we're getting a new moon. Mars is going forward lickety-cut. It's going to catch up to Saturn in August. On August 24th, when we officially begin Saturn and Sag, yes, Saturn's been in Sag for a few degrees, but that's when the two of them actually start working together. So we're in wrap-up mode, and we're finishing up the story that we kind of started to struggle with a little bit in February, and then in April we said, you know, no, I'm not really ready to go forward yet. I have to go clean up some mess. So we've been cleaning up the mess April till last week, June 29th, and now we're ready to go forward full steam ahead. So it's a negotiating point. And it's a negotiation about what you want to do. So, and why. Why do you want to do it? What's it about? And, you know, a lot of the energy is our vision for our life and our vision for where we're going. And so a lot of the conversations I've been having with people and doing readings have been, well, what's your vision? You know, what is your, if this isn't your vision, what is? And I want you to be gentle with yourself this week because it is a week of a little bit of volatility and high emotion. But it also is going to be a lot about, well, what's your vision? You know, and in this fast-changing world, it can feel like yesterday my vision was this, today my vision's that, tomorrow my vision, you know, you're kind of like that whipsaw, you know, where your head's ricocheting back and forth between two things. And we have that again this week, okay? So we're not done with the terrorist attacks. There's going to be a couple more big ones. Mars is going to go over the explosion point of Uranus. Mars is in an inconjunct to Eris and an inconjunct to Uranus. And what he does is he says, we need to look at this from a different perspective. We need to take a perspective on this and get a fresh way of thinking about it, seeing it, understanding it. And there's nothing wrong with what we're seeing. But if we want things to change, we are going to have to change. And, of course, one of the things we're really good at is saying, I don't want to change. I think they should change. But that ain't happening. They're not going to change. They're saying about you, I don't want to change. You should change, right? So our job this week is we have to own our change. We have to own it, and we have to say, okay. I get it. I'm going to change. And what are you going to change towards? How are you going to change towards it? What steps are you going to put in place? Once we're clear on those, then it's really easy, you know, because it's, you know, it's just checking off things on your to-do list. But right now there's a little bit of a muddle. There's a little muddle energy up there in the heavens. It's going, you know, it isn't that easy. You know, you just think you can go and change stuff and that's going to make a difference. And the answer is yes, it really does. And sometimes we can't actually change the situation, but we can change how we think about it. We can change what our approach to it is. We can change our feeling about it. And I want you to watch where you're really irritated or you're really feeling that Eris Uranus energy, where you're really feeling very... And, I mean, I've had a lot of people this week go... And I'm like, I get it. But that's not forever. You know, that's for right now. The irritation the anger piece. It's for now. It's not forever, but it's for now. And what it's asking you is, how do you need to evolve? How do you take Mars and Scorpio and take a different approach? Mars in Scorpio is a strategic Mars. It is in conjunct to that Eris-Uranus energy. It's saying change is good, but it isn't, you know, it ain't clear what's going to happen when we do the change. So we watch how the stock markets got crazy last week with the EU vote. And we went, you know, billions of dollars lost and billions of dollars not lost and whatever. And, you know, it's all illusion. What happened in your life? What happened in your world, in your reality? Where were you holding the separation from the EU? Where were you going? Well, that's the result when you do that. That's how it changes, right? So I was talking to somebody earlier today, and they had a big fight with someone that they love very much. And they were like, okay, that's it. That's over. And I'm like, no. Stop. Well, you know, and it's like, yeah, everybody's got their behaviors, and we can't change the other person's behavior, but we can step back and become a little more conscious of how their behavior impacts us and how our behaviors impact them, right? So in this case, they're very sensitive and really feel things, and they felt this kind of weird energy, so they got mad, right? And so they got mad, and so then partners shut down. That's partner's pattern. And it's like, well, it doesn't mean you have to throw the relationship out. You have to work through, I get mad, I, you know, do Italian crazy woman, and then you shut down and you do retreating, cold, distant guy thing, and neither of us is happy. Back in again. Let's discuss. Let's work on this on a new level. So our job is to understand where the people that we're in relationship with help trigger our sensitivities, help trigger our crazy. That's why they're there. They're in your life to trigger your crazy. That's their purpose. They like to trigger your crazy. And that's their job, because by triggering your crazy, it helps make you get conscious. Now, you can do it another way. You don't have to have your crazy triggered, but you have to recognize that they're serving a purpose. And you can banish them or send them off to Scotland or whatever, but you really just need to kind of go, okay, why? How is this serving my crazy? And why does my crazy want my attention, more importantly? So when I come home and Max has not been fed, he's like a little crazy cat until he gets some food in his bowl. Because as far as he's concerned, that's the issue, and that is the most important thing in the world. And I know if I don't feed him, I'm going to do the radio show, and he's going to dump stuff on the floor in the middle of the show. He's going to knock over flowers. He's going to do something to be disruptive so that I feed him. Because as far as he's concerned, I'm on the phone talking, and this is a stupid activity because there's no food in the bowl. So I made it a point to go feed Max before I started the radio show, because we've been having little altercations this last week when he's not happy with me. Now, of course, this is a cat arguing with me about my behavior as his errand owner. But I also understand he's, like, really not in the mood right now. He's just going to, you know, pick a fight with me and be very clear what he wants. So watch where the errant energy is trying to pick a fight with you, and then go, what behavior change do they want from me? And then secondly, you don't have to make it, of course, but maybe you do want to make it. Or maybe you want to say, you know I kind of jumped off the handle, but, you know, you were doing this thing and it just made me crazy. And we're all, there was a quote I loved for years, I don't remember who wrote it, we're all messy rooms sometimes. And the job is to hang out with people that understand our messy rooms and help us, that support us and love us. And so that's the theme for the week. We have a new moon in Cancer. And then Sabian's symbol for the new moon is a thumb, a prominent thumb, a hand with a prominent thumb. Now, when I took palmistry from Ellen Goldberg, buy her book. She has a great palmistry book that just came out, her and Doreen somebody. Ellen Goldberg, little short, wonderful woman down on Cornelia Street. And Ellen taught me palmistry. And she was always like, prominent thumbs. Thumbs are will. Right? So that means the Sabian image for this new moon is will, because it's a lot about the prominent thumb. The other image for the moon is it's very prominent with the myth of, or of Orpheus and Eurydice. Now, she got bitten by a snake on the wedding day and was carried to the underworld. And he was a brilliant musician, and he went down and he decided to follow her and get her back. And nobody ever goes to the underworld and returns the same, right? This is not something people do. But he gets down there. He played so beautifully, Persephone cried. And she said to her husband, let the wife go. He loves her so much. Let her go back. So Pluto's like, this is breaking rules, man. We're not supposed to do this. Kind of like Hillary and Bill talking to the AG, you know, the attorney general this week. What were you thinking, people? And so he goes, okay, you can have her back, but you have to promise not to look back. And so he's like, really? And he's like, yeah, you have to promise not to look back. You have to trust the process. Go forward and don't look back. She will follow you. When you get to daylight, she will be there. But if you look back, you'll lose her forever. So Orpheus is like, okay, now you know you're in the underworld. You got to work to get in there. You got to work to get out of there, right? So he's climbing up the hill, and he's climbing up the hill, and Mercury is accompanying her. And he gets right to the edge, and he just can't take it a second longer. And he looks back, and Mercury goes, you ruined it. And then he carries her back into the underworld, right? The moral of this new moon, no looking back. No going, what about? It's about trusting the process and saying, my vision for my life is this, and it looks like this, and you're ready, right? And the partner or the people or whoever hopefully says, yes, I'm ready. Let me move forward towards your vision and realize you have the potential, you have the power with this lovely new moon with a big thumb, a prominent thumb, a strong will. Just don't look back. You can take the people that have been traveling with you forward. You can say to them, okay, so this is the plan. When we get to the daylight, we're going to be reunited, but we're not going to look back. Now, we see that Bible story. That was Lot's wife, too. She turned, looked back and got turned into a pillar of salt. It's about not looking back, because when we look back, we lose the forward motion. We lose the direction. We're paying attention to what's going on around us instead of focusing on where we're going. I need y'all really focusing on where you're going this week, because we're moving forward, and our job is to say, this is the vision moving forward that I have. I might not be clear about everything, but I know this is my vision. And giving it permission and understanding after Orpheus lost his wife back to the underworld, he was forced to, or he traveled the world singing and crying and wailing and making trees cry and making the gods and goddesses cry, but it was too late. He'd lost it forever to the underworld. So no looking back. Trust the process, forward with a good sense of will, with your prominent thumb. Wiggle your thumbs if you're feeling overwhelmed. That's actually a really good key to help you feel brave, wiggling your thumbs. It's one of my little tricks. Wiggle my thumb and I feel brave. And then forward, okay? That's the week. And there's a lot of other stuff, which we'll talk about in about 2 seconds. Okay, so I am doing another new moon webinar tonight at 7:30 on the Cancer moon, which is actually on the United States sun, because it's tomorrow on the 4th of July, and it's the United States birthday. And if you're away and you can't sign up, you sign up tonight, you get it cheaper, and then it'll be available, you can get it on later in the week and still do the new moon ritual through probably Saturday next week, because we have a Cancer moon, then a Leo moon, then we have a nice Virgo moon, which is all about good work, on the 7th and the 8th of July. So feel free to sign up. It's on my website, and we'll be covering the moon's configurations in greater depth. Okay, so get your calendars out, and we will also cover the moons in the sky this week. So right now we're working with a Cancer moon, and we're going to have a Cancer moon tomorrow on the 4th of July. And the new moon takes place bright and early at 7 in the morning at 12:54 Cancer, which is, of course, the 4th of July. It's the U.S. suns. And then it's in Cancer on Monday. It's in Cancer on Tuesday. It goes void at 2:29 in the morning, Tuesday morning, and it's void all morning, entering Leo at 12:28 p.m. in the afternoon on the 5th. And then it's in Leo Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday all day, Thursday morning, it goes void at 8:06, but then it's in Leo until 6:41, and it goes void with a trine to Uranus. I forgot to say what the Cancer moon went void with. The Cancer moon went void with a square to Uranus, which is an exciting breakthrough, break up, break forward, go for it. Of course, when it squares that moon, the next thing it squares is nasty little Eris. But, you know, it's a wake-up call. It helps you see things you hadn't seen before. Then the Leo moon has a trine to Uranus in Eris because it's a fire trine. And then so the moon is void all day Thursday from 8 in the morning until 6:41 Thursday night. And then at 6:41 Thursday night, it enters Virgo on the 7th, and it's in Virgo on the 8th. And it's in Virgo on the 9th until 11:28 p.m., Saturday night, when it goes void with the sextile to Venus. And then it enters Libra bright and early Sunday morning on the 10th at 4:32 a.m. And it's in Libra on Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, going void with a square to Mercury. So the weekend, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, all good days to get things done. Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, hard closing aspects, but sometimes people go, oh, hard closing aspects. You know, hard closing aspects are useful if you want to dump stuff. You want to get rid of stuff, clean out your closets, let that go, get it out the door, don't keep it anymore. So we don't dislike hard aspects. We just want to use them in a way. But if we're initiating something and we want it to go well, we're going to initiate it on the Leo moon or the Virgo moon because they both have lovely closing aspects. The Leo moon has a closing aspect of the trine to Uranus, creativity, expansion, go wild. And the Virgo moon has a closing aspect of a sextile to Venus, which is always delicious. All right. So aside from the mythology of Orpheus and Eurydice in the sky, you know what that means? There's going to be a big departure, right? Somebody big that's young and nobody expects to leave, one of those sad things. And it is a Cancer on Cancer New Moon. So a young couple. I hate those kind of aspects for that kind of thing. But it's a square, so thus it must be. So this week, the Sun is running from 11 Cancer to 18 Cancer. And it has a couple of really interesting aspects because it trines Neptune. So it's really about the dream, working with the dream and the vision of the dream. And then it parallels Venus, so it's really about connections. And it aspects the nodes of fate on the 5th, so it's important about who you meet. And then it meets up with Mercury. Mercury and the Sun become combust. Now, when the Mercury and the Sun are combust, people are pretty insistent that they're right. That's really all week, even though the combust exactitude happens on July 6th. But people are going to be like, I'm right, you're wrong. And just, you know, it's when Mercury's combust the Sun, everybody's very sensitive, and every 2.5 days when the moon changes signs, people change their minds. So if they say wah, 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 on the day when the moon has a bad aspect, go back when the moon's in a happier aspect and ask again. Sun's opposite Pluto this week on the 7th, which is an opposition that happens once a year. Sun opposes Pluto, but it does always make us become aware of our power struggles, and that happens on the 7th. And then the Sun is sextile to Jupiter. Now remember, Jupiter's pulling out. He's pulling out of the pile and taking off and heading for parts next to be explored. So the Sun's sextile to Jupiter is kind of a farewell to Jupiter because he's kind of carrying the goodbye note from Neptune and Pluto. And he also has a little biquintile to Saturn, so he's saying to Saturn, so I'm a little sad. I'm a little sad it's over. And that's kind of the energy. There's a real... With Mars leaving Scorpio, he is full steam ahead, 90 miles an hour into Sag. He is not looking back. So people are really feeling like, I am done and I'm out of here. And that's the Mars. So it's about allowing that. And the other part is if people are mad at you or angry at you, in some way, shape, or form, you made them feel unwanted or uninvited. So sometimes, you know, you don't really care. And you go, you know what, I don't really care that you don't feel invited. I don't want you invited. But in other cases, it's an important relationship with you. So take a few moments to say, you know, I really care about you. Or I'm sorry you felt unincluded. You know, I didn't mean that to be how you felt. Because remember, people remember how you make them feel. They might not remember all the details, but they remember how they felt. All right, Mercury in Cancer. He is flying. He is so happy. He doesn't particularly like Cancer, but he does like all the mood changes that he gets when he's in Cancer. So he's going from 6 Cancer to 23 Cancer, and he's very active with the trine to Pallas Athena, and then he has an aspect to Saturn where he has to adjust on the 4th of July, and he says, ugh, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? And he's kind of pushing it, and then he has a trine to Neptune because he's mimicking the sun's path. So he's going to trine Neptune on the 5th. Remember, the sun trines him on the 3rd. He's going to aspect the nodes of fate of who I meet on the 6th. The sun talked to the nodes of fate on the 5th. Then he has the argument with Pluto on the 7th. The sun had the argument with Pluto on the 7th. Uh-oh, Mercury and the sun are both arguing with Pluto on the 7th. That's a crabby day. That's Thursday. And that's a day when we have a nice long void moon in the middle from 8 in the morning till 6 at night. So it's kind of one of those days you just want to go, yeah, we're in the mood to fight, but it's not forever. And once the moon goes direct, ask again. Mercury has biquintile to Saturn on the 7th, which is all about new and exciting stuff. And then he kind of enters new territory after the 8th of July when he has a sextile to Jupiter. And he says, ooh, this is cool. This could be fun. And then he's in new territory where the sun is going to go next week when he has an aspect of seeing patterns on the 9th. And he has a hard aspect to Eris, the goddess of discord, which is a little bit difficult. And then he has a trine to Mars on the 10th. So the 10th is a little bit of a stressful day. And, of course, the aspects aren't great. Moon's in Libra, and Mercury is pretty afflicted on the 10th. So just kind of be nice to yourself next Sunday. Don't hang out with mean relatives because this is like the setup for a fight. Venus, also in Cancer. So remember, Mercury, Sun, and Venus all are going to change as the moon changes. So Monday, Tuesday, they're really sensitive because the moon's in Cancer. Then it's in Leo, which is much more creative. Tuesday afternoon, Wednesday, Thursday during the day, but void. And then they're fussy, Friday, Saturday. So the Venus in Cancer goes from 21 Cancer through 28 Cancer. And so she is kind of picking up the back end of the stuff. The sun, you know, only gets to 18, so we're not gonna see anything from him. But Mercury at the back end talks to her. So Venus is got a sesquiquadrate to Pallas Athena on the 5th. She is gonna see something that she does not like. And when that happens, I mean, Pallas Athena is very strategic, and she just doesn't really care if you don't like it. She points it out to you. So I'm always really careful when someone's having a transit to their Pallas Athena, and I'll go, you know, I don't know that you're going to like what I'm going to say here, you know, or I'll go, I mean no offense, but, you know, offense can be taken on the 5th. People can say things to you, and you can kind of go, really? That's what you said to me? And just know that the moon's in sensitive Cancer, and Venus is in sensitive sign, and Pallas Athena's like, you know, I don't care if you don't want to hear it or not, I'm going to tell you. Pallas Athena's not necessarily paying attention to the feelings. So don't take offense, just take note. That's on the 5th. Venus trines Mars on the 6th, which gives her a little oomph and boost, and they're happy. And then she squares Eris on the 6th, which makes her a little crabby. She's going to be doing that at the same time Pluto and Mercury are having kind of their squabbles. So that weekend is a little tight, a little tense. Then we go to the 7th, and we have Venus square Uranus after she has the argument with Eris. And so we're going to be working with breakups, breakthrough, breakdowns on the 7th. And that's when people are going to go, you know, I think we're breaking up. But she has a trine to Chiron on the 8th, and she really kind of works with that energy and goes, okay, you know, how do we work with this? And then if you give her a little space, right, Venus, and this is where it's important to do the, okay, I'm going to go forward. You get to figure out what you want to do, but you know where I am. Please come join me. Let's talk about how we can make this work. And then everybody gets to decide what they want, right? And that's really what this week is a lot about. We're at a crossroads, and we're deciding what we want. And we might be a little mad, but, you know, big picture, what is it we want? And then Venus has a sesquiquadrate to both Saturn and to Neptune. Now remember, Saturn and Neptune are in square to each other, which of course means Venus is the handle of a hammer of Thor. So, it's in or it's out on the 8th and the 9th. And if it's out, it's out. And if it's in, it's in. But it's big. And it's a handle of Thor with Venus as the handle. So we're making decisions about love, money, partnership, and the structure of our life this week. Expect big breakups in the news. This is just one of those classic, they're getting divorced. What? No, I can't believe it. And then Venus squares Ceres on the 10th, which is a lot about, well, what about the kids? Mars is in conjunct Eris on the 9th. Bad mood on that day. Mars is, we've been working that Mars in conjunct, and he's a little crabby, and he's going to catch up with Uranus next week, but this week he's getting Eris. So she's tough. So that's the 9th. Again, the weekend. Not a good weekend for having the how do you feel about me conversation, okay? So just go in and have a good time, but no do you love me is because the answer is probably going to not be one you want to hear. July 3rd, Jupiter is going to parallel the nodes of fate. So watch when you meet July 3rd and July 4th. And then he has quintile to the 4th, July 4th and July 9th to Uranus and Eris. So what Jupiter is saying to you, remember, he's in Virgo. So he's very strategic when he's in Virgo. He kind of shows you stuff, but he doesn't show it to you. He makes you go, really, what do you want? So when I was younger and I moved to New York, my mother wanted me to stay at the Barbizon. And I called and got the Barbizon, the big expensive one that was like $3,000 for a weekend, for a room, for a month. I'm like, what are you doing, drugs? There was also the Barbizon Hotel for Women, which was $300 for the month, because it was a residence hotel. So I said to my mother, I am not spending $3,000. I didn't make that much. I don't have that. I don't know, whatever. So we came to New York, and we went to the Martha Washington. I looked up some women hotels. It was the Martha Washington. Well, it was a rehab hotel full of prostitutes. So we went there in 1976, and it was, I went in the lobby, and my eyes must have been the size of large saucers. And I was like, holy shit. And my mother, of course, upstate Rochester mom, looked and went, holy shit. And, of course, she's pitching the Barbizon, and I'm like, I don't have that money. I'm an Aquarius rising. I'm a difficult child. I totally get that. So we go back to the hotel. I get out the New York Times. We're going to find an apartment for me to rent in a week, in a day, you know, on Sunday. And, you know, my mother's like, can we just go look at the Barbizon? And so we went and looked at the Barbizon, and there were two, who knew. Of course, I have Jupiter in 4th in Gemini. I wasn't an astrologer then, but we went to the Barbizon. It was this lovely hotel. It was beautiful. They didn't let my father ride in the elevator because he was a man. And I was like, oh, well, this is a nice place. I could stay here. After completely being convinced I had to find a hotel in a day, or find an apartment in a day. And the moral of the story is Jupiter shows you, all right? So this week, when Jupiter shows you, the angry feminine, i.e. the prostitutes, or the craziness, and he says to you, understand why this is here. You do not have to go find an apartment in Queens. Go explore your other options. There is a Barbizon hotel for you to go to, or someplace else, rather than breaking and running, okay? So just trust that process. Then Saturn has opposition to Vesta, which often says time to move, or maybe it's time to change the home, the structure of the home, or the foundation. And Neptune has a semi-square to Ceres, which often is an energy around the feminine or the work of the connection and the work of the creative. So honor that as a very strong energy. And Juno, of course, enters Scorpio on the 7th, which allows her to really deeply merge. So that's the scoop. Busy week. Have a great time. Consider joining us for the New Moon webinar. If you don't join us, it is a very powerful New Moon in the United States charts, too, because it's on the Sibley chart. So at least sit down and do a little Cancer Moon ritual this weekend and come up or next week and say, you know, what is it I'm going to nurture and grow? It's one of the most potent moons. It's one of the most powerful moons because the moon is in its essence and glory. and the sun is wanting to grow things and take action. So get a dream, get a vision, work on your life. It's going forward, full steam ahead. Take care. This is Ann Ortley signing off. Bye-bye.